Okay. The time is now 1:08 p.m. We are back on the record for OPAPA 16-003 and 16-005 TLK Marketing versus the Guam Visitors Bureau.
Thank you. Ms. Tang will take, John Nathan will suspend his testimony and we'll resume after we take Ms. Taichiri's testimony out of order, correct?
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So at this time, if we could have Ms. Taichiri just provide that on this panel.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon. I know we know each other. It's okay if I'm going to call you Ms. Taichiri.
That's quite all right.
And I know we do know each other, but just for the record, I'm Joshua Walsh, one of the attorneys who's working with TLK here. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Just a preliminary thing, where do you currently work?
Guam Visitors Bureau.
Okay, what do you do at the GVB?
I am the Vice President of the Guam Visitors Bureau.
It seems because you're here, you also do some work on procurement. Is that correct?
I sit on boards, yes. Our reviewing panels.
Reviewing panels, that I understand that like this is the evaluations,
yes.
Doing evaluations, that's what you mean. Did you get any sort of formal training on procurement or doing evaluations at any point?
No, just my experience in the past.
Sure, and of course you were a member of the Guam legislature, so I'd imagine that there's probably some experience level dealing with procurement matters at the legislature.
I'm also 2 years of the paralegal school in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
How did you become an evaluator on this particular RFP? When I say this RFP, I mean the Korean marketing one that we're discussing today.
I was asked.
Okay. Who asked you?
Usually it's, I'm trying to remember who asked me on this one. It varies because it's upon the availability of who's on island at the time. As you know, GVB, everyone's traveling all the time, so I happen to be there. So I think it was maybe Chris might have asked me. I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure who asked me.
I understand maybe you don't remember this particular one, but that makes me understand that probably you do evaluations fairly regularly on procurements. Is that a
Sometimes.
Fair statement? But how many do you think you would do in a year period?
In a year?
Yeah.
I've only been at GVB for a year.
How many have you done?
Just off the top of my head, probably 3-4.
Okay. Are you at all familiar with the grounds for TLK's protest?
Yes, we're given the instructions before we do anything. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Protest.
Yeah, the protest. The reason that TLK is protesting. Do you know why they're protesting?
I guess because they didn't win the bid.
Do you have a sort of general idea of the legal grounds for why they're protesting, what their specific complaints are, why they should have won?
Sorry.
Okay. That's fine. I just want to know. Well, you know, one of the issues, and I'm just going to represent you, one of the issues is this issue of experience for the company that won, HIC, okay? So I'm going to talk about that for a little bit. You know, did they meet a sufficient amount of experience? Do you remember from the RFP, of a 5-year experience requirement in the RFP?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna It's sitting in front of you there.
Okay.
It's a stack
That's
of docs, yeah. If
Thanks,
because
this is going to be helpful.
May
okay.
I approach the witness? Just
yes.
help her out. So at the front here is an exhibit one.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about this for just a sec.
Okay? Okay.
Request for
okay.
proposal. And if you could flip through that and look to section 1.1 of that RFP. It says scope of work.
Got it. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm just going to ask you to agree with, I'll read it. Agree with me if I'm saying it correctly. It says here, GVB seeks to retain a qualified professional tourism destination marketing agency, the agency, with a minimum of 5 years extensive and consistent experience working with the Republic of Korea travel trade. Does it sort of start off with that?
Yes.
So when you were doing the evaluations on this procurement, did you understand that the whoever was going to be selected had to have at least 5 years of experience that fits this section 1.1?
I'm pretty sure I did. I mean, I'm good at reading, so when I read this, when I was reviewing any of the proposals in front of us, I kept that in mind.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to flip over to, there's an evaluation procedure and criteria section, section 2.0, if you could go to that.
Okay. 2.0?
Yep.
Okay.
And actually, if you go down a little bit from 2.0, 2.1, 2.2.
Do you have a page number that's easier?
Yeah, 27.
Okay, that'd be better. Okay. 27. Got it. Okay. Page 27.
28. I cut the
okay,
page.
Okay, no problem.
But section 2.2.
Got it.
Okay.
So on page 28.
So there's a 2.2A, executive summary and commitment.
Uh-huh.
You see that sub number one that starts off with the offeror shall submit?
Mm-hmm.
You mind reading that?
The offeror shall submit an executive summary with a description of how your firm qualifies and the requirements of this RFP as indicated in section 1.1 GVB. Objectives.
Okay, and that section 1.1 GVB objective, mm-hmm. if we recall correctly, it's that section 1.1 we just spoke about mm-hmm. the 5 years of experience. Is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ms.
So,
Pye, I just want to remind you to please speak into the mic, like when you say yes or no. Nods are not picked up.
Okay, we'll do.
When you were doing the evaluation, how does it actually work? Could you tell me actually how do you do an evaluation? Where do you have the meetings? How do you get the proposals?
Well, it's very helpful when you're reminded at the beginning of every evaluation when you have the procurement officer there, who is Chris, tells us the step-by-step procedures. So when she tells us that, you know, helps to remember how we do it. So I can't tell you exactly, you know, right now, but at the beginning of every review process, we get a briefing on what we're to look for and how to rate and the rating, and so I go by that when I start to review.
Do you remember having a discussion on that 5-year experience requirement with anybody at GVB?
I don't recall. I'm not sure. I can't say positive yes or a positive no for that one.
I'm going to just be pretty direct here. One of the reasons for the protest is the TOK doesn't think that the person that won has 5 years of experience. So I want to ask you, how did you make a determination that HIC had 5 years at least experience to meet the section 1.1? Do you recall at all?
I look at I believe it was the individuals who worked for HIC, just like the individuals who worked for TLK and the other proposal, and look at their experience, and I'm sure they had over 5 years experience or 5 years. All three of them, if I recall, had those experiences.
So I want to make sure we understand what your perspective is here. Your perspective, it seems to me, is that if there are individuals at the company that have experience, that means the company has the necessary experience. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying, Josh, is that I would not have, I would have made that, pointed that out during the review process. As I pointed out some other things that I wasn't sure on, and they showed me the page on it, but I'm pretty sure that if no one met that criteria, I would have pointed it out, and I didn't see any reason, because I felt everyone had that experience.
Okay. If you had pointed it out, you would have pointed it out to somebody like Chris? Is that who you would have talked to?
Oh, absolutely. I would ask her for a page number or something I'm missing, or where's this document? I would ask for the procurement, and she would show us where it is in the proposal. But yeah, I would have pointed something out if I thought something was wrong.
If I represented to you that HIC, the folks that won eventually, were not even in existence for 5 years, would you find that a problematic and something that needed to be talked about with Chris?
I believe that when I reviewed it at the time, I felt they had that experience that was required based on the scope of work.
Okay.
Yeah.
But would you agree with me that HIC was not in existence for at least 5 years at the time you did your review?
Don't recall ever putting that in my mind. I was looking at their qualifications as a company, as an individual that were working for the company.
Okay. I hate to talk in the world of hypotheticals, but I'm going to ask one quick one. If I started my own law firm tomorrow, Joshua Law, and I brought Joyce Tang on as my associate, my law firm is in existence for a week, would you say because I brought Joyce on, who's got maybe 20 years of experience, that my law firm now has 20 years of experience? Been in existence for 20 years?
Those are two different questions. Okay, let's do the first one.
if somebody at a company like my new law firm has 20 years of individual experience, you would consider that experience of the company?
Yes.
Okay. And you would think that that is sufficient to meet the requirements of section 1.1 or 2.2 to be discussed at the RFP?
I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an individual, yeah.
Did you, when you were doing your evaluations, give any thought to a company called SD Farm? Remember that at all?
Who?
SD Farm?
Did I ever? No, sorry. I mean, no.
Okay.
I wish I had my papers in front of me and all my notes, but unfortunately, I don't. Yeah.
But from where you're sitting, you're probably it sounds like you're confident in the fact that you believe that HIC had the sufficient experience to meet the experience requirement of the RFP.
Absolutely.
Okay. And you don't recall needing to reach out to a company called SD Farm to make that conclusion?
I'm sorry, can
you? You don't remember having to use SD Farm, a company called SD Farm, to make that conclusion?
Well, like I said, I don't even remember. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that. Sorry,
okay.
Josh.
That's fine. The next thing I want to talk about a little bit here is Mr. Carl Pangilinan's involvement. I think he was a presenter for HIC, the company that won. Do you remember Mr. Pangilinan being involved?
Yes, I did. I remember.
Did you know him when he made the presentation?
Did I know? Oh, yes, I remember. Yes, of course.
We all know. We all know Carl. Yeah. Do you think his presence as a presenter for HIC was a positive thing for their proposal?
I guess it could have been an added plus. It could have been an added plus, but I was basing it based on the company, knowing that it's the company that's going to be doing the work, not Carl Pangilinan. So it was important on the company to me more than anything. Than the individual person of Carl Pangilinan.
Did you have any concerns about Carl Pangilinan being involved with the presentation from HIC given his previous employment with GVB?
No. And legally, he had every right to be there.
Okay. And why do you say that?
You know, as a senator, you can't lobby. You know, you have to wait 1 year. You know, after being a senator, you have to wait a certain amount of time. I don't know what it is for senators, but I'm pretty sure they have their own rules and regs on individual people. But after that, then you can go ahead and participate in lobbying efforts. Just from my experience knowing that.
Sure. And you were confident that Mr. Pang Lien had exceeded that 1 year time frame in his involvement with HIC?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'm going to, I think we actually called this exhibit 9, and I think we put a tab at the bottom here.
Okay, yep, right here.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you to go, there's a base stamp number at the bottom right, 215 in that exhibit.
Go to exhibit 9,
mm-hmm. And on the bottom right you might see a stamp number, it says 215. If you keep looking at page 215, I think it starts off with 196.
Okay.
Yep.
Page 215. Yes. Okay, I'm here.
Okay. Do you recognize this page?
Yes.
I'm untapped. Could we figure out where we're at?
Yeah. So, exhibit 9.
215. Okay. Right there. Okay, thank you.
Do you recognize that page?
Of course. Please don't judge me on my handwriting. It sucks.
better than mine, but... So I'm going to represent to you that this is looks like an evaluation sheet of Carl Panganina's presentation
mm-hmm.
at 11 in the morning. And this is an evaluation sheet by you, is that correct?
Well, I'm trying to find this well knowledge for our island, yeah. Our idea was good.
Okay. And that second part you just sort of read there, that having a person from Guam on the team that is well knowledge of our island. You're talking about the person from Guam being Carl. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. The strengths of the person presentation, having a person from Guam. Yeah.
Okay. So is it positive to have Carl involved in your mind?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I was pertaining to. I think I was pertaining to Carl. I'm not quite sure, but having a person from Guam on the team that is well knowledgeable, yeah, that sounds about right.
Ms. Tidegree, I know you got to run here in a second. If you could just indulge me for a second, I'm going to make sure I covered everything I want to talk about. Ms. Tidegree,
yes.
Thank you. Those are all my questions about this for you.
Mr. Fisher.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, Ms. Tidegree.
Good afternoon, Mr. Fisher.
Good afternoon. I'm going to just ask you a few follow-ups. I'll begin with the last line of questioning related to Mr. Carl Pangalinan.
Mm-hmm.
Did the fact, Mr. Pangalinan used to be at GBB, he was the general manager, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Now, did the fact that Carl Pangalinan was at one time president, or general manager, I guess, at that time, of Guam Visitors Bureau, did you basically give more points to HIC just because Carl used to be the general manager?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Quite frankly, personally, Carl and I are not real good friends, you know, in the first place, you know, so it definitely wasn't because of that.
Okay. I guess I'll ask the question in another way. Did the fact that the other presenters, Promac, TLK, etc., did not have Carl Pangalinan, did you suppress their numbers?
No. I based this solely upon the company itself. Before the, when they did the presenting, it was nice hearing it out loud, but during the review process where we just had their documents in front of us was more of a bearing to me than anything.
Okay. All right. You put all the cards on the table. So Carl didn't exercise any undue influence over you?
Oh, absolutely not.
You've felt that HIC, Happy Idea Company, had the sufficient experience?
Yes.
Okay. And did you think that they had the sufficient experience because members of HIC had more than 5 years experience?
Yes. Absolutely.
And you were, okay, so you were, and of course you were able to look at their proposal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, and just to, I'm just going to beat this horse a little bit more.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, I guess I'll leave the horse alone. I think she's answered the question. Thank you very much.
Yeah, just two on the points Mr. Fisher raised. Ms. Tidigree, to the extent you may think I'm saying you threw this game for Carl Pangalinan, please don't think that I'm saying that. I just want to ask a pretty direct question. Would you agree that page 215, that of your evaluation sheet, she lists as a positive Carl's involvement here?
Absolutely not. That his involvement, it's about the knowledge. What I didn't put a particular name down there, but having someone to have knowledge about Guam was very important to us. You know, and as far as this, your concern about my the influence of Carl Pangalinan, I tell you right now, like I said earlier, we are not actually good friends at all whatsoever, and it's probably because of where I'm at right now at GBB. So you can rest assured that we don't, you know, Carl and I don't really see eye to eye as friends. So there's no influence there. At all.
I don't mean to suggest that.
No, but
I'm asking is, would you agree with me that your evaluation sheet says that Carl's involvement was a strength of the presentation? Would you agree it says that?
It like I said earlier.
A person from Guam. Okay.
Like I said earlier in my statement, it doesn't matter who it is, but having an individual who knows about the island, and he is here makes for a better branding of our island, don't you think?
Actually, I'm not an expert on the marketing world, but who would be the person for Guam you're referring to then? If Mr. Fisher says it doesn't say Carl, who would we be referring to in your evaluation sheet here? And again, it's page stamp 215 of exhibit 9. If it's not Carl, as Mr. Fisher suggests, who is it?
I didn't say, I'm objecting there. I said that it didn't say Carl.
Okay.
So yeah, I think the question is, were you referring to anybody in particular on page 215 or?
Well, it just so happened that HIC had an individual from Guam named Carl Pangalinan who was representing, but whether it's Carl Pangalinan or Joe Cruz, it doesn't matter. It matters about having somebody knowledgeable here and experienced, especially experienced, about our island.
I got that, and I like to believe actually, if I was doing the presentation, you'd feel it was a positive. I was doing it because
especially from you, yes.
Thank you. But I guess the reason I'm raising it though is if it turns out that Carl hadn't actually gone beyond the 1 year stand down period and was not beyond 1 year, then it would be a problem, wouldn't it?
I'm sorry, say again.
If Carl had not actually
just came from the ear doctor, that's the doctor okay. I went to.
If Mr. Pangalinan had not actually exceeded his 1 year sunset period, the 1 year stand down period we discussed earlier, then that might be a problem. Would you agree with that?
Objection. Calling for a legal conclusion.
Okay. So sustained.
Thank you.
Okay. I won't beat that dead horse anymore. I'll just move on to Mr. Fisher's second line of questioning here. The 5 years of experience. And I'm going to ask you again to look at that exhibit one. The RFP and that section 2.2.
Yeah.
Right here? Yeah, that's 2.2. I think it's 28.
Thank you.
Yep.
28. Thank you.
And I'm going to read it. Again, I know we talked about it, but that 2.2A1, the offeror shall submit. I just want to make sure that the hearing officer and the OPA understand this. Your belief is that when it says the offeror shall submit, and The offer shall show 5 years of experience, that it's sufficient for you under the RFP that individuals in the company have that experience. Mm-hmm. Can you?
You said. Say it again. Really,
that when this says the offeror shall submit.
The offeror shall submit an executive summary.
Yeah.
With a description of how your firm qualifies under the requirements of the RFP. Yes.
And we agreed that the RFP has a 5-year experience requirement.
Yes.
And you say that individuals can make up that experience. Is that correct?
I feel the experience is there within the company, yes.
Okay. Is there a specific portion in the RFP that you could point to that says that the offeror can use individuals to make that up, to make up that experience, as opposed to the offeror itself having 5 years?
So you want me to read the whole entire
thing? I don't know. I'm just wondering if you know of a spot in the RFP that says that.
I would have to read through it. I don't know the RFP by heart. Sorry. I would have to read through the whole entire thing.
I don't have anything.
Can I have a follow-up, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Taitigui, could I direct your attention to section 2.0, also on the same page?
Okay.
And I'll give you some time to read that. 2.0, it's entitled Evaluation Process.
Yes, I found it.
If, could you read that silently to yourself?
Sure.
Does that help you to answer Mr. Walsh's last question?
Thank you for pointing that out. Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So you would agree, I think, that selection of the best qualified offer is based on qualifications, experience, and commitment of the offer's lead and support individuals.
Yep.
Okay.
That would answer. I wouldn't have to read this. It's right there. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't have any other questions.
Just one on that.
Okay, very quickly.
Briefly, yes. If you could go back to section 1.1 and read that first paragraph under 1.1 to yourself. I know we've read it a few times. Would you agree that 1.1 requires GBB to retain a qualified tourism and destination marketing agency with a minimum of 5 years of experience? It says an agency with experience, does it not?
If I'm looking at both 2.1 and 1.1, which, you know, when you're reading through these RFPs, you,
mm-hmm.
the last section you read 2.0,
sure.
I would say that this best identifies in a general perspective, the best qualified offer will be the qualifications, experience, and commitment.
Okay. Well, let me ask my question again. Would you agree that this says that agency with 5 years of experience? That's just what it says. Would you agree
yes.
it says that?
Yes, it says that.
Okay, and then about the relation back part, would you agree that on that section 2.2, A.1, it says, look back to section 1.1. Requirements as the RFP says under 1.1. Would you agree it says that?
Yes.
And if we go back to 1.1, we're in our circle back to agency with 5 years.
Right.
Okay.
But 2.0 is clearly a broader and general perspective of the RFP as a whole.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Tidewick. You may be excused.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you. You too?
Not yet.
Ms. Tang, did you want to resume with
Could we?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Dunnett, could you please take the stand here?
Just give us a moment. Just to remind you, you're still on the
post.
Did you guys want to address something before we resume?
Just maybe cutting some witnesses, but maybe we should go through Mr. Denightman after that stuff.
Do you want to?
Yeah, let's take a break after.
Yeah, we're going to try to say you reach some stipulations on this.
We suggested just in anticipation that Mr. Roldiger come about 2:30.
Oh, yeah, of course, the post-its, you know, not at all.
It's now 1:40. Is that too early?
You know, I'm recovering a lot with Mr. Denight, a lot more than I expected. And if he can cover these areas, then I don't need Mr. Baldiga. I mean, I just didn't expect to cover as much. So that's been very helpful.
What do you want to do, though, in terms of him? When he
you know, let's
come?
Push it. Let's,
want to just ask him to be on standby for
let's
like a
say
half hour?
No earlier than, yeah, we'll give him half an hour notice.
We just don't want to have any breaks, right? Because we want to.
No, I know. Yeah. So I just don't want to have him come down unnecessarily.
So what should we do?
So can we? I'm sorry. Yes, if you can just say we give him notice.
Well, right now he's been told to come here at 2:30.
Let's tell him not to then, so he doesn't waste a trip.
So will he be needed at all? Is the question.
I see.
What we can do is we'll check about 2:50.
Please ask him not to come down so he doesn't waste the trip.
Yeah.
But is he released from the subpoena?
No, please. Yeah, I think we're getting, like I said, if I can, you know, resolve matters through, get the evidence through Mr. Denight, then I think that could resolve, avoid having him to make the trip and save some time.
So let's see where we are at 2:10.
Okay.
Okay.
You're back on the record?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. Mr. Denight, at the earlier break before lunch, we were focusing on Exhibit 11, so you might want to have that with you.
Sure.
That it was your intention to send the notice of non-selection to all offerors, the selected and the non-selected ones, when you had given Gina the instruction. I'm sorry?
Correct.
All right. After you discovered that Gina sent the Zenith text, and this is the email on Exhibit 11, page number 260 in the bottom, on page 260. Why didn't you stop the negotiations then?
Stop the negotiations.
With HIC.
Why did I personally didn't contact them with negotiations at that point. So like I said, on Saturday Pilar had emailed to send the notice to everyone. And then on Monday, Tuesday, I met with Gina to talk about having all the notices sent through Chris as soon as she got back, which was done on Wednesday.
But on March 4th, 2016, mm-hmm. you knew at 8:53 p.m.
Did I know?
I received. I'm sorry. You received this email, did you not? Page 260.
Friday night, yeah.
Okay. And your email's right there. That's your email.
Yeah.
Okay. So you knew that it went out.
I can't really say that I saw the email that night or that weekend. It was a weekend, so
okay,
maybe I saw it Monday morning, Tuesday.
Maybe even the following week, right? Testimony earlier was that you saw this and then that Pilar, the very next day, had instructed you were aware of that. So really,
yeah.
Mr. Denight, you saw it on the 4th.
Maybe not. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Okay.
So you could have seen it on the 5th, right?
Okay,
yeah,
did you see it on the 5th?
I don't know. Maybe I saw it on the 6th or the 7th.
But you were aware that Pilar knew.
Yeah, because I saw the email. But
okay.
I might have saw it on that Monday when I got back to work, opened up my email. So, okay, Gina sent this late Friday, and Pilar responded, and then I talked to Gina.
But at no time did it occur to you to stop the negotiations?
I don't want to stop the negotiations. I wanted to send the notices to the official notice to the winner and the non-selection notices to the non-winners.
At different times or the same time?
When at the same within a reasonable time, yeah.
Now, do you think the winners and the HIC and the other offers should have been notified at the same time?
Yeah, preferably we'd like to do it at the same time, as I mentioned.
Do you think that you're required to do it at the same time?
By the letter of the law, I mean, you know, we kind of reviewed that with my legal counsel. It's not true.
All right, you don't need to answer what your discussion was with the legal counsel. Yeah. You could, maybe if you rephrase, you can answer what
you're the chief. Thank you. You're the chief procurement officer, right?
Correct.
Okay, and you do 5 procurements a year, correct? Mm-hmm. At least.
Yeah, about. Somewhere around there.
You've done quite a few since you've been here for a while.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and do you think isn't it fair and the right thing to do to notify parties at the same time?
Yeah, but I mean, yes, so which we did.
In this case?
In this
That's
case
your testimony?
Did. Yes.
He's got Exhibit 12. Bottom right hand corner has a number 282. See that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, an email from Don to Gina. And Don informing Gina on May, not March 9th at 3:06 p.m. I'm sorry, excuse me. There's an email at the bottom from Gina to Don. And it continues on to the next page. Do you see that? Yep, so it would be 282 and 283.
Okay,
so it says you would like to finalize the RFP and paperwork and communications to other offerors. Correct? You see that on
the second sentence.
Actually, it's 283. It's second paragraph, second sentence, beginning with DBB General Manager would like to finalize the RFP and finalize all the necessary paperwork and communications to other offerors.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And do you recall a discussion with her about this?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I spoke to her about we need to get the notices to everyone, as
mm-hmm.
Pilar mentioned on her email on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And move the, you know, and close out the procurement.
Okay. Yeah. And, of course, you knew that at this point, on March 9th, at this point, the other offers were not aware of the selection.
Oh, that's correct.
All right. And that HIC was, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. And still, you did not stop the negotiation with HIC.
What do you mean stop the negotiation?
Meaning stop the negotiation. Say, hey, we can't negotiate because I didn't. We did not give the notice to the other offerors. At that point, did it cross your mind that maybe, you know, there's a problem?
Maybe Ms. Tang established when the negotiations began.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to object. There's no evidence at all. I'm sorry. There's no evidence at all that there is a problem.
Mr. Denang?
Okay. Well, I mean that's the argument, right? So I guess your objection is as to relevance, right?
Well, it's relevance, but I think that the line of questioning is misleading.
Well, all right. Well, maybe you can clarify. I mean, I think one way of clarifying would be to establish when negotiations began, and then to
right.
if he answers that in a way to establish that they had been in progress, then the next question would be why did you not stop them?
Okay.
And I guess, Mr. Fisher, when you present your opposing case, you can argue why that doesn't matter.
Mr. Denang, 9. Can you go to Exhibit 11, please? I think you testified earlier that with respect to the email that begins on the bottom of page number 280, the attachment is the Appendix A to the HIC contract, right?
Yes.
That contained all of these duties and terms and monetary terms between HIC and GVB for that contract.
I know I had the scope of work, but you did have the monetary. Maybe you can point me.
I'm happy to point that to you, but I believe it did. It is exhibit. Exhibit 3, and it begins on page 247. What page number 247? You see on the top contract fees?
Okay, yes, so yes, it is.
Okay. And then it has scope of services, and the next page has tasks and obligations, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, would you agree with me that at least as of March 4th, negotiation had either started or was ongoing?
Yes.
Do you know if it started before March 4th?
Did it start before March 4th? No.
I'm sorry, you don't know or no?
No.
No.
To my knowledge.
Okay. So why didn't you stop it after March 4th?
I thought appropriate. They had the document. You know, there wasn't any ongoing communication between me and HIC about, you know, can you do it for 28,000 or 20, you know, we didn't get to that point. But what I wanted to do is move forward with the notices to everyone as soon as possible.
So you didn't stop, Kenny?
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't actively send an email to a correspondence to HIC to say stop negotiations. What I was doing is trying to notify everyone, the other bidders.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. No problem. Thank you. Thanks.
Can I just follow up on that question? So, going back early, we saw that the fee was $20,000. So, I guess as a matter of negotiation, that was presented to HIC and that was accepted, and therefore there was nothing further to negotiate. Is that more or less the?
Correct, but during that time we hadn't heard back from them. They agreed to those terms.
So was the 20,000 GDB's offer to them?
Yes, ma'am.
And then they accepted it.
Yes.
So that's why there was no further need for negotiation.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That's what I'm saying. No, like active back and forth.
Yeah.
I was just working with the staff to make sure the notices got sent out to everyone.
Were those figures that were presented to them, or were those figures that were discussed prior to insertion in Exhibit A?
It was presented to them through the exhibit, just so when Gina sent that document, as we referenced earlier.
So the March 4th email had this Exhibit A accompanied?
Correct, yes.
Attached to it,
scope,
and it already had these figures inserted?
Yes. Yes, sir.
So that was GVB's offer for taking on this contract?
Correct, yes.
And so your recollection that, just following up on the question here, basically you accepted the numbers. So is there your recollection that there were nothing further to negotiate or discuss after that other than execution of the contract?
No, they accepted the number, not like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, I don't know what the exact date was, but it wasn't in between that period of when you sent the notices.
Okay.
So we had sent them the document. There was no further back and forth, on the price or anything like that. No, we were just trying to get the notices out.
Okay. But that didn't go into 6 days. Excuse me, correct? That didn't, I'm sorry. The notice did not actually go on until 6 days later.
Wednesday and Thursday notices were sent.
10th. March 10th.
Yeah, 9th and 10th, yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll get back to that, sorry.
Because this is an RFP, usually it, and the price, was there, were each of the bidders asked to submit a separate price, a proposal? Because usually in an RFP, you have the evaluation and then you look at price later on. So did anyone at GE, was there instructions, and I haven't read all of the proposal, was there instructions to submit your a separate envelope for your price?
No, ma'am, not in this RFP.
Okay, so GVB was going to be the sole determinant. No one was asked to give a price to take care of this.
Correct.
Is that your customary? So the
we have done price proposals and RFPs I've been involved in, and this one we did not.
No,
oh,
I'm sorry, this was it.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Could I refer the auditor's attention to volumes 2 and 3 of the agency report? Price proposals were received from offerors.
Oh, apologies if I misspoke on this.
So there were separate price proposals?
It looks like the technical proposal came in and a price proposal from each of them.
So I guess the question I would ask maybe is, was the price, because usually you open the price proposal of the best qualified offeror and you do not open the price proposal of the non-winners. To the best of your knowledge, was that done?
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, that's our process, so I think that was what was done. Yeah. If we received the price proposals, the non-selected would be not opened, and we would have opened the one that was selected.
So do you recall if a price proposal from HIC...
I'm sorry, ma'am, I think we did receive a price proposal from HIC, and I think I discussed that with Gina, our marketing officer, too, that handled this. So I think when we came up with the number, we offered below what they were asking for. That was asked for in the price proposal.
So HIC's price proposal was higher or lower?
It was higher than what was the final contract
okay.
number.
So you opened it up and then you decided, you know, you wanted to keep it at...
Yeah, we had a certain budget number in mind and we stuck with that, which was lower than what they...
What did you do with the other price proposals?
We do typically return them to the contract. So
we have them. They're in the proposal. They're open.
Were the price proposals open or closed?
They're here.
No.
Oh. We have copies of them here.
They're in the record?
Yes.
Okay.
Were they opened?
Yes.
Were they sealed price proposal?
All right. So GVB did open all of the price proposals of all of the offers for the agency report. Yes. Okay.
I'm sorry, can I interject? I prepared the agency report. I don't want to make myself a witness here. Okay, but I prepared the agency report, and it may be, and I'm not going to suggest an answer to him, that the gentleman has no recollection, one way or another.
So do you know when the other price proposals were opened?
I do not, sir.
Do you know of the procurement people, either Gina or who was the other person?
Chris.
Chris may have opened up the price proposals?
I'd have to ask him.
Can I interject again? I believe I did it to provide the agency record.
So let me just ask you. You don't know when they were opened, correct?
Correct.
And you don't know who opened them?
Correct.
Okay, when an offer, an offeror is not selected, usually the price, the unopened price proposal is sent back with the, pardon the expression, the Dear John letter. In this case, the price proposal, when the non-selection notices were sent, do you know if their price proposals were also sent with them?
Yeah, I'd have to check with my procurement person. Yeah.
I can represent.
I guess the question is, why would you have the price proposal in your possession if you had sent the non-selection offer, is the question.
And I think the question is directed to me since I made the representation that I believe I'm the one who opened it.
Correct.
Because it was in the procurement file and my instruction was to divulge everything in the file. And whether or not it clearly it must not have gone back because I was able to open it. So
my client received the notice of non-selection by email, right? Yes, by email.
Email.
And what about the price proposal?
But what about his price
proposal?
He did not
get the price
proposal. He did not get the, I see. Okay, thank you.
And my recollection is I had to open it to comply with what I believe was divulging the agency record.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Kang.
Thank you. Okay, so.
And just so you know, Ms. Tang, I mean, at least it's been my practice to, when
no,
it helps
I'm
me
fine.
Clarify, I might jump in, so.
And I appreciate that, so I actually.
It's easier at that time because we'll forget.
No, I appreciate it. I am fine. This is my experience as well. Okay, so just to redirect your attention to Exhibit 12, please. This is the March 9 email. I ask you to go to the second page, which has a date, where's the date, number 283. Okay, as of March, I'm focusing in on the second paragraph. Second sentence, beginning with GBB General Manager. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says GBB General Manager would like to finalize the RFP and finalize all necessary paperwork and communications to the offeror. Do you remember that conversation with Gina?
Yeah.
Okay. And this conversation occurred around the time this email went out? March 9th.
Around the time where this is going on. Like, as I mentioned, I talked to Gina that following Monday or Tuesday about how to proceed.
Okay, so by this time, I think just the negotiations began on or about March 4th, right? That I just took you through that.
Yeah.
And so as of March 9th, there was no further negotiations. Actually, after March 4th, you reached a price agreement. There was not much to negotiate, because you didn't go back and forth.
Well, I mean, as I'm saying, they didn't respond whether it was acceptable or not acceptable. That's what I mean. No.
Is it to your best to the best of your knowledge, was this their first response? To HIC's response to the proposal.
To the best of my knowledge, was this the first one? I think so.
Okay. And so Gina's been asked to chase him down and get the document signed. Right?
I specifically asked for Gina to work with our procurement officer when she came back to make sure that all the notices are sent and that we're following all the steps.
Okay. And it says here in the second paragraph, please refrain from publicly mentioning this until we have finalized negotiations and signed the contract. We do not want any protest from the other offerors. Was she asking him, well, did you give her instructions to do this? To tell him this?
By the way, I was conducting by someone mentioning that he's communicating with the Korean media and I said, it's certain awarding. Did you do my I I can't say that I specifically told her to send that communication.
I beg your pardon?
I can't say that I specifically told her to send this communication, because I mean, I didn't hear that. She was contacted by someone about the HIC communicating with the media, so.
But why would, do you know why she would ask Don Park or HIC not to talk about the negotiations until a contract is signed, because they don't want to have any protests from other offerors? Do you know why she would say that?
Well, I think we don't want to announce to the media that HIC is won until we come to a negotiation. That makes common sense. What if we don't come to an agreement? You know, then they announce to the media we won it, and then, oh, we don't come to agreement, then they didn't win it. You know what I mean?
And then why do you need to tell them that we do not want any protests from the other offeror? Why would she tell him that?
Because she's trying to do everything so in the spirit of the procurement law, so that we don't get any protests. And that's a general sentiment. We're trying to do everything that we can to follow the procurement procedure so we don't get a protest. I don't think there's anything wrong with not wanting people, you know, doing everything right so there's no protests.
Who would have protested?
Other offerors.
Right. And do you agree that if something was wrong, they would have the right to protest?
Yeah, this is part of the process.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that they would have to have knowledge about something going wrong or something happening before they can protest.
They don't
right?
need, they can know, they can protest it without knowledge, right?
By reason, good faith.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it possible she was telling him not to talk about it because they were hiding the signing of the contract?
Do I think so? No.
You know, this wasn't what GBB was doing?
No. That's my opinion. I mean, can't speak for
Gina
Cono.
Did you have a chance to check on her?
Yeah, actually I did.
Okay, when did she ask for leave?
I had them send me the form. Her request was on May 26th.
Okay, how was that made?
Through a leave request form.
Did she specify date of travel?
Yeah.
What dates were they?
June 27th. To July 8th.
Okay, so she's supposed to be back later this week.
That's what the form says.
Is that correct?
That's what the form says.
Okay. Do you know any other? Do you know her return to be another date?
I'm assuming what's on the form is a return date.
Okay.
Ms. Tang, what should we do regarding Mr. Baldiga? Do you want to? You need more time to determine.
Yeah, could we?
So
let's push up to 3. Is that okay? All right, thank you. I'll finally direct you to exhibit 12, but on the first page, the same exhibit. So 282.
Page 282?
Yep.
Okay.
We got the first page of that exhibit. So Don responds to Gina in this email, and he says, I've signed the document. You see that?
Yes.
Okay, and the document, exhibit 12. The document he's referring to is the Appendix A to Exhibit 3, the HIC contract. Yep, yes, no? I didn't get a hearing answer.
Was there a question?
Yes.
What was your question?
The document that was being referred to in this email from Don to Gina, he says, I just got to the office and signed the document. He's referring to Appendix A, attached to Exhibit 3,
mm-hmm.
HIC's contract.
Yes.
So basically accepted the terms that GVB offered.
Yes.
By signing it.
Yes.
Okay.
So on issues like this, Ms. Tang, right? I mean, this is not an email that he's involved in, and I think I understand where you're going with this, so, I mean, you can make the argument, but I don't think he's in a position to say what.
Well, I understand, but I'm not connected. All right, so. As of March 9th, was it your understanding that the deal was pretty much done? It was accepted? He signed the contract?
Not to my understanding.
Okay, what else had to be done?
We were sending out all the notices.
Okay. Well, let me, I'm sorry, I should clarify that. The negotiation and signing of the contract was complete because he signed the contract and sent it back to you.
I think this document is just the scope of work. The actual contract is a different document, as you saw.
Okay.
This is an appendix to the signed contract, so it's kind of like a pre-negotiation tool.
But it actually was part of the contract. We talked about that.
Yeah, but
right?
not the actual contract.
But it is part of the contract.
But not the actual contract.
Okay, and. Was there anything else left to be discussed or negotiated at that point in time?
At what point in time?
March 9th, 2016, 3:06 p.m.
Well, as a hearing officer, Paris said that I wasn't part of this email chain.
To your knowledge, was there anything else left?
To be discussed?
Yes.
As far as the scope, but yeah, and other contract details. I don't know if they had to provide any other documents, but to the scope, but that would be pretty much it. Yeah.
Okay, and the price.
Yeah, the scope and the price.
Okay.
So when he sends this email saying that he's signed the document for Exhibit A is the document that has the $20,000 figure and the $2,000 reimbursable figure, correct?
Correct.
Did they ever come back and attempt to change those figures?
Not to my knowledge. Not with me.
And let's go to Exhibit 18, please.
Is that further back?
Yes, it is. Because we were looking at 12, so it's okay. About a 7 meter thick. Yours, you recognize
223?
Your 223?
Yes, ma'am.
That your signature on?
Yes, ma'am.
The March 10th letter of non-selection to Mr. Lee?
Yes, ma'am.
And attached to it, page 224, is the summary of evaluations. Okay?
Correct.
And if you just scroll back, it's two other copies to the Pharmac and Edelman. Correct?
Which exhibit again?
It's exhibit 18. And the bottom right number is 223.
223, thank you.
So these are three identical letters, but directed to the three non-selected letters. Correct?
Yes.
This was prepared at your instruction?
Uh-huh.
Did you review it before you signed it?
Yes.
Is this, who prepared this for you?
Chris Lozano.
Okay. I'm going to ask you, sorry about flipping back and forth.
No problem.
To Exhibit 13, which is close to what we were just looking at.
Is there any way we could get this tab?
This is
remarkably difficult to flip through. Is it possible that we could, since all of this comes from the agency record, that we could just refer to the record? Which is tab?
No,
okay.
This is not.
Given the hour, let's try to slug on.
Tommy,
let's
post
this doc.
You want some more post-it notes?
Yes, that would
yes.
Be.
Oh, definitely. Here.
This one is
not.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I will say that this letter, Exhibit 13, is not an agency report.
So we're at Exhibit 13.
Not a procurement record. Now, if you you can keep your finger on Exhibit 18, which is the letter you were looking at earlier, because we'll go back and forth between that.
Sure. Could we hang on a minute? I haven't relocated Exhibit 13 yet.
All right, Exhibit, the first letter document we're looking at is 18, and it has the number 223 on the side.
Okay, but let me go to 13, and then I'll go right to 18.
Just one moment. Let's find it.
We have smaller tabs.
Sorry, posting notes, he's okay.
Just let us know when you're ready, Mr. Fisher.
Sorry?
Just let us know.
Okay, I'm gonna try and do this on the fly, but I've marked 13 and 18 now.
Okay. So 13 is, there's no number on it. And 18 is, on the right hand, the number is 223. So, Mr. Denai, can I proceed? All right.
Yes.
Have you had a chance to look at these two versions?
Yes.
So 13, Exhibit 13 is a March 9th version of a non-selection letter. And it has a line slash through it, slash through the letter, and it has your signature, right?
Yes.
Here's your signature. I'll represent to you that we obtained a copy of this on Tuesday, yesterday, when Mrs. Patrick was at your office and went through the files. So these were not something that we had in our files or in the procurement files. And the main difference between Exhibit 13 and Exhibit 19, other than the dates, one's March 9th and one's March 10th, correct? Is that there's an extra sentence in Exhibit 13, which is the last sentence. You are hereby notified that you have 14 days to request administrative review from the date of this letter. You see that? That's on Exhibit 13.
Yes.
And the version that was sent to the offeror, that's Exhibit 18, does not have that same sentence. You see that?
Yes.
Why was it deleted?
I think it was not, I think when our procurement people put together or Chris put it together, she had it there originally, and then I think it was reviewed and it wasn't necessary. I don't know if Mr. Fisher reviewed it and it wasn't necessary that it be in there, that line, so it was taken out.
Did you think it was necessary?
Tom, I trust my legal.
I object.
So you don't need to answer any question regarding discussions you've had with legal counsel.
Oh.
Those are privileged.
Okay.
Do you want to rephrase?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Maybe rephrase. So.
Yeah, I'm not asking about conversations between you and your counsel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's not what I'm getting at.
Percy, I didn't think it needed to be.
No. Okay. You didn't think it needed to be. Exhibit 16, please. And it's a email.
I apologize. What exhibit?
I'm sorry, 16. To you from Gina, and it's directed to Don Park. Tom. Exhibit 16. So in this email, she says to Dawn, please find GVB's notice of intent to award letter in regards to the procurement, the RFP. You see that?
Yes, I
do. All right. And she says, I was supposed to send this with an email she was sent yesterday, so we'll go to that email in a moment. Do you know if this, this notice of intent to award was not provided to any of the other offerors, right?
The ones that weren't awarded?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is their selection.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just asking about the letter that we didn't get that was attached to this email. It says, this email exhibit 16. The notice of intent to award that's referenced in this email. This notice of intent to award was not provided to the other offerors, correct?
I can't say yes or no.
Should it have been?
If that's the procedure.
You are the chief procurement officer. Do you not think that other offerors should have received the same notices, especially a notice of intent to award?
Objection. This is calling for conclusions of law.
I think she's asking something factual. What was your question again?
Matt, you are the chief procurement officer of this agency.
Yes.
When you issue notices of intent to award to awardees, do you not also issue the same to copy other offerors?
What's your standard practice?
Yes.
For the intent to award letter?
Yes.
To be quite honest, I would ask my prepared person.
So, are you able to answer Ms. Tang's question, or you don't know?
I don't know.
Okay. Would it surprise you to know that my client did not get one?
Would it surprise me to know? I can't say whether it does or doesn't.
It's not shocking?
It's shocking as far as...
that you're being informed of this, sitting here in the OPA in the middle of a procurement appeal?
I'm just answering to the best of my ability, so.
Please go to exhibit 17. Which was sent at 12:32 p.m. early afternoon, right? But it was sent, do you agree, before Exhibit 16, which is the notice of intent to award. So you can compare 16 and 17. Exhibit 16 is the intent to award, was sent on March 10th, 7:11 p.m. The notice of award was sent at noon, little afternoon, on the same day at 12:32. You see that?
Yes.
Focusing on exhibit 17. This is the notice of award. Basically confirming that, I guess she says, accepting our negotiated representation fee and monthly out-of-pocket estimate, the contract, right?
That's what it says.
Okay. And now, should the notice of award been also sent to the other offerors? Isn't it your standard practice? Excuse me, strike that. Isn't it GVB standard practice to send notice of award to all the other offerors?
I would have to check my procurement person on that one.
As the chief procurement officer, you do not know the answer to that question?
Yeah, that one I don't know.
I'd like to direct you to Exhibit 14. I apologize if I should have put numbers on them, but if this is the Exhibit 14 is near the second. It's a minutes of meeting from that I obtained from the legislature's website. Just make sure everybody's there. And just so you know, the page I'd like to direct your attention to, because Mr. Van Eyck, you're obviously familiar with these type of documents. So if you look in the upper right-hand corner, I'm looking for the document that has the marking regular board meeting, March 10, 2016, 13 out of 20. And you'll see it in the upper right-hand corner. And so it's like a little past halfway through. So 13 out of 20.
Page 13, right?
Yeah. On the upper right-hand corner, there's a, in the margin, there's a reference. It says, regular board meeting, March 10th, 2016, paren, 13 out of 20, / 20.
What was the date again, Ms. Tang?
March 10th.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not seeing, okay, sorry.
Okay.
All right, how are you there? Here, this is what it looks like. It has a mark of Guam Visitors Bureau, and then under the margin says Exhibit F.
Does the first sentence say action item, Tumon Master Plan Task Force?
It says, there's a little arrow that says GM denied noted they would like to refresh. Differentiate.
Are you sure it's 13 or 20?
Yes. That's
what
it says.
Yes. If you look on the upper right hand.
You know, it's upper right hand margin.
Mine says 13 to 20, but it
at / 20.
Yeah, but it begins by reading action item to my master plan task force.
Are you in exhibit?
Must be in the wrong guy.
Yeah, you are in exhibit. Exhibit 14.
There are two sets of minutes.
Okay.
Exhibit 14.
March 10th.
Yeah, and then it says under upper right hand corner, March 10, 2016, 13 / 20.
Give me just a second. Sure. I think I'm on the system here.
And then actually, you'll see Korea, right? Like in the.
Why don't you show?
We don't have it.
Huh? It might be.
We don't have it.
There? Oh, 13 out of 20. It says Korea right there.
Yeah.
Okay, KL. We're looking at the table on APD. These are pretty confusing. So in the section that has L, Korea, section L, Korea, do you see that?
Yes.
All right. And just if you recall, you were present during this March 10th board meeting, right? Because, I mean, at the very top it says GM denied noted.
Correct.
So just to help refresh your recollection.
Thank you.
And then under section Korea, Exhibit F, Director Jackson, so he's head, Bart Jackson, that's who we're referring to here, right?
Correct.
He reported, he's doing the reporting in Korea.
Yes.
Okay, and the next arrow, it says, the selection committee interviewed three different presenters for RFP for Representation Korea, and the board had given approval to negotiate with the highest score. We're still in negotiations phase and would like to provide the board with more updated proposals at a later time. You see that?
Uh-huh.
And who reported that? Mr. Jackson, or was it you?
I'm not too sure.
Okay, so...
I think you had the minutes from that specific meeting.
Yeah, so, no, okay, let's go to, keep your finger on that, and then page, and then go to the next exhibit 15, which is a single-page transcription, and again, you're welcome to check the tapes. Yeah, it's two pages, excuse me. Sarah transcribed it from the tapes, online tapes, or the CD you got.
So, was it the next exhibit?
Yes, exhibit 15.
15?
Yep.
Okay, so
and if you look at the middle.
Is that going back?
15, yeah.
Forward. Okay, forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, got it. All right, got it.
Okay, so if you look at the middle first page where it says Jackson, okay, obviously business is quite good. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Jackson referring, right, you know, and he says, well, there's a lot of us, but. Selection committee interviewed three different presenters for the RFP for the Representation Korea, and the board had already given approval to negotiate with the highest score, and not exactly sure, but I think that's expectedly being completed, so we should have, and then the night, that's you, right, next?
Yes.
So we're still in negotiation phase, but next board meeting I'll be able to announce to the board the highest rated. So there were some interruptions because people were just talking, okay? Please take a moment to review that, see if that refreshes your recollection.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And so at this March 10 meeting, why didn't you correct Mr. Jackson and tell the board that the deal was done, that negotiation had pretty much concluded?
Because it wasn't. Because the contract was not signed.
That was the only reason then. But there was no negotiations, correct?
No, but
you were just waiting for signatures.
Well, without the contract, you know, anything could happen, right?
Okay.
The deal
was
done when you signed the contract, isn't it?
Well, I'm not testifying, you are. And my question is, isn't it true on March 9th, you already knew that the deal was pretty much done. Let me just get the exhibit here. March is exhibit 16 and exhibit 17, the notice of award email. You had sent out the notice of award. Notice of intent to award, notice of award. Why didn't you correct Mr. Jackson? Why didn't you tell your board what the correct, the real status was of this deal?
Yeah, we haven't signed a contract yet. I just answered it.
That was the only reason?
Yes, ma'am.
But it says you're still negotiating the transcripts.
Yeah,
from
still,
the March 10th.
Yeah, we're still not in, we haven't contracted. That means we're in the negotiation phase.
You were still. Other than signing of the contract, what else was left to negotiate?
Yeah, there could have been terms that were brought up with specifics on the actual contract. When you review the document, they might say, oh, you know, these payment terms are not okay with us, or these are okay with us. You know, so pretty much they agreed to the scope of work, but, you know, there's other parts of the contract that I'm sure they would have to review and agree to.
Okay. And but he did sign the contract, didn't he? And he made no changes.
Did he sign the contract and made no changes?
HIC.
HIC. see. I believe that's correct.
So in fact, Mr. Park signed on March 11th, correct? And emailed that to you. I just direct you to exhibit the 3 signature page.
Sorry, what exhibit are you on, Ms. Tang?
Exhibit 3 is a signature page, 245.
With the March 9th?
I beg your pardon?
Is that?
No, this is the HIC contract, excuse me. Yeah. HIC contract. The actual contract attaching Appendix A.
When you're looking at the date of execution?
Yeah. So there are 2 documents that were executed.
What page?
245 is the main contract, if you will. Mr. Park signed on March 11th?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and you signed on the 14th?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Now, if you look at the next section page, following page, 248, 249, that's appended, then we established this, that this was in the March 9 email, which he accepted and signed. Correct? March 9, the appendix.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
The appendix A2, yes. Which begins on page 246 to 254.
Yeah.
And that's the document that was sent on March 9th and accepted and signed on March 9th by Mr. Park. Happy to do
was that. Was that the date? Yeah.
Date of that email, yeah.
That he sent
March
this back?
9th. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just for clarification, Ms. Tang, so March 10th, 2016, there's a board meeting regarding the state of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then your question to Mr. DeKnight was, why did you not clarify what the actual state was?
Because they referenced the negotiation.
Right, he says they're in the negotiation phase. You asked him about that. He says contract execution was still pending, so they were still in that phase. And then you point out that the contract attachment was signed March 9th, right?
Yes.
And then
Appendix A.
Mr. Park signs the contract March 11th, and then Mr. DeKnight signs it March 14th.
Correct.
Okay.
That's Exhibit 3.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The hearing officer referred to the board minutes of what date?
March 10th.
March 10th. Mr. DeKnight, just going back to the RFP in general. When you have a proposer who, one of the requirements of the RFP is you have to identify your team members, right? So
yes.
If it's HIC, that HIC has to identify who their team members are and their resumes, basically, and their experience and qualifications. And that's the basis upon which the evaluation committee will review the proposals, and to the extent that there are, you know, requirements and whatnot, the ranking is based on that information at that time of submission. Correct?
Okay, yeah, yes.
Okay, and a proposer is not allowed to change the team after they submit the proposal without everyone else getting a chance to amend, if that's what was required. So I can't change my team once I submit my proposal to you.
I don't know.
Do you know the answer to that?
I don't know the answer to that.
fair to allow them to change a team member in the middle of a after submission?
I object. These are again questions of law, touching on whether or not a respondent is responsible or responsive. You can cure
objection
responsibility. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a question of law.
To the point to extend his testimony. I'm just saying that. Just state your objection, Mr. Fisher, and then Ms. Tang, what's your response?
Mr. Denied is the chief procurement officer. He's had numerous years of experience. He should know the answer to this.
So, Mr. Denied, so you don't need to give a legal response, right? That you can give a response to the extent of the report based upon what your understanding is.
Okay, sure. What was the question again?
So, please, I guess restate the question.
Yes. A proposer who submits a proposal and presents a team, right? In this case, to be an agent for GBB, can't change the team after the proposal is submitted. Is that correct?
Objection.
What's the objection?
The objection is this is a pure question of law. The answer to that can be found in the procurement law. It's fundamentally unfair to ask him to answer that question when, frankly, nobody in this room has the answer off the tip of their hands. And we can find the answer on amendments or changes to proposals prior to opening.
So, Mr. Denied, I mean, are you able to answer the question, or are you?
Yeah, I would go look at the procurement law to make sure my answer is correct.
But as you said here, are you able to answer Ms. Tang's question?
I would refer to the our procurement procedures to get the answer.
Sorry, you would defer to?
I would look it up.
You would do, okay. So it'd be an RFP, right? The RFP has some restrictions on what you can and cannot do. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And I will find it in a moment.
Ms. Tang, is there an argument though that the bid with the information in the bid was changed by HIC?
Well, their team.
They changed the team
members. Yeah, the team has changed. Right.
So
Mr. Pangolino was a consultant and did a presentation in furtherance of the RFP. Did he not? I mean, it's undisputed.
You've already established that he gave the presentation.
Right.
So you're going to present evidence that they changed their bid to change their team subsequent to submission.
But when you reviewed HIC's proposal, correct?
Subsequent, yeah.
Okay. Subsequent to?
I mean, I didn't review it before. It was but I reviewed it, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. And did HIC disclose Mr. Pangolino's involvement in any way as a consultant or otherwise in connection with the solicitation?
I would have to go back and look at it. So is it in there?
I mean, I will represent to you that it isn't there, but I'm just asking if you
recall. As far as my knowledge, in the staff listing, I didn't see his name in there.
Okay. And if he were a consultant, which he was, should his name not have, his name should have been listed in affidavit one of HIC's proposal. Would you like me to show you the affidavit one?
Sure,
HIC.
Sure.
Just so we're looking at the same document, good exhibit two. And it is, I hate to do this, okay. So it is, here's exhibit two. So it's like 3/4 inch.
Is it page number?
You know, it didn't have it, no. I'm sorry. You know what? If you look, HIC has proposal numbers, page numbers in their proposal. So the last page of their proposal is 92. It's in the corner, bottom corner. And then right after page 92 is the appendix. Oh, it's only even pages numbered? Yeah, you'll find 92.
Sorry, what was that?
Look for page 92, and then it'll be two pages after that. And the number will appear near the binder ring. So it's near the left margin.
Oh, okay, got it.
All right? And then the next page is the listed appendix. Yep, let's go to the affidavit number one. Are you there, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so affidavit number one. affidavit disclosing ownership and commission?
Yes, I'm looking at it.
Okay, and so, based on your experience as the chief procurement officer, consultants for proposers, all right, should have been listed.
Who should have been listed here?
Carl Pangalino.
Why?
Or if he was with the company, he should have listed that company, but, you know, when, section B.
You mean as an owner?
Section B. Middle of the page.
Whether I say receive or entitled to receive commission, gratuity, or other compensation from him, if anything. So he should be listed because you're assuming he's getting a commission?
If he was a consultant receiving payment in any way from HIC, actually he's working for HIC, right now? Yeah, so he's working for HIC right now. As, I mean, so
Jeff,
not only was he a presenter.
I'm sorry, there's no evidence of that.
Right,
okay.
So, I mean, I guess just asking.
Okay, let's assume that Mr. Pangalino is working for, he presented, that's not an assumption, right? He presented for HIC. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not disputed.
Yeah.
And we'll put an evidence on this, but let's assume for the purpose of this question that he is now working for HIC. So, should his name have been disclosed in this affidavit?
Maybe he's not getting any compensation. I mean, I can't speak to what Carl's deal with HIC is, and you haven't presented me anything to show that, so I don't know. We're just assuming that he's getting something. I'm sorry, what's the question?
He's working, assume that he's working for HIC now, and that we all, it's undisputed he's the presenter. Do you agree that his name should have been disclosed?
Yeah, this is interesting. Commission, gratuity, or compensation for procuring or assisting business related. So if he was getting paid for obtaining that business, then I guess they would list him. Maybe he's doing it for free and he's not getting any money. I can't really speak to his compensation.
Have been getting a job?
Is that a commission gratuity or compensation?
Okay, if that is considered compensation, then it should have been disclosed, right?
Yeah, if he was doing one of these, that this was the case, then it should have been disclosed.
Okay, and this was, the statement was made under penalty of perjury, correct? These are statements, affidavits?
Yeah.
Okay. So if they fail to disclose, let's say that HIC was required to disclose Carl Pangalino's involvement and fail to disclose, would that disqualify HIC?
Objection.
What's the objection?
Legal conclusion.
It's sustained.
Do you know?
Just
that was sustained, so you can
rephrase.
Okay,
that's fine. Okay. Talk about the memorandum of negotiation. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, maybe you could point to it.
Yeah, I think you prepared them on July 1st last week. That helped you recollect maybe what I'm talking about.
If you have it, I'll look at it.
Okay. Well, remember the public auditor ordered you to produce certain things and to certify certain documents. Part of the procurement record. Do you know what a negotiating memorandum is? Sitting here today.
Do I know the specific one you're talking about?
Do you know what a negotiating memorandum is?
Memorandum about negotiation.
Okay. And do you recall if one was done in this case?
Do I recall if one was done in this case? Are we talking about the scope of work we covered earlier?
No, I'm talking about the negotiation.
Yeah, perhaps you could show it to me.
So you don't know?
Do I know what it is and what you're going to?
Do you know if one was prepared for this case?
In this case?
Yes. For this RFP,
yeah.
Excuse me.
I can't say I know what you're referring to.
Okay. So let me mark this as 31. Is that correct?
Right, 31.
Oh, you mean the 3114? Yeah, I signed it.
You signed it?
Yes.
July 1?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know what 3114 means?
Yeah, just certifying the procurement.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, this is, it's right there, certain determination made pursuant to 2 Guam Admin R and R.
Would it surprise you to learn that 3114, in fact, refers to the section, this is 3114M, as a memorandum of evaluation negotiation. That's what 3114M, the header for that section. You didn't know that when you signed it, did you?
What is the question?
When you signed Exhibit 31, and you called this the 3114M memorandum memo, you did not know 3114M referred to GAR, 2GAR, 3114M, regarding memorandum of evaluation and negotiation.
I'm not too sure I understand what the question is.
Okay, you just didn't know the what section 3114M referred to, did you, at the time you signed this?
Yeah, I mean, this is a memo with number one and number two talking about these, for me, providing these following information.
Okay. And who prepared this for you?
Legal counsel.
Okay. And I don't want to know what you guys talked about, that's not what I'm asking. So, are you familiar with a document called Memorandum of Negotiation?
Am I familiar with that? No.
Okay. This is the first one you've come across in your entire procurement experience?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any input into this document before you signed it?
I reviewed it.
Did you make any changes?
I did not.
Did anyone else in your office, to your knowledge, review this?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Were you personally involved in the negotiations with Mr. Park, HIC?
It was done through the email communications with Gina.
So it's Gina, basically, who was face-to-face by email?
Through email, and then when that scope of work and the terms were determined, you know, we prepared the contract and sent it to them.
Okay. Are you familiar with a document called Log of Communications? Yes.
Sure.
Okay, and can you tell me what that is?
It would be a log of communications.
Okay. And I'd be more specific, actually. I think it includes
Ms. Tang, just for clarification, I guess this line of questioning is directed towards failure to certify the employment record.
Right, and that is the basis in my brief section. Not just certify, failure to maintain a procurement record and do all this other stuff. So.
So I guess the argument is that the certification is deficient and the record that was maintained was deficient.
Yeah, it was incomplete, and they didn't follow the requirements of the procurement law, and there should not be an award to be set aside.
Which, I'm sorry, which certification? We submitted one just the other day, and we submitted one sometime prior to this. So which one is she referring to?
I believe, the way I understand the argument thus far is Exhibit 31 is not compliant with the certification requirements. Am I correct about that, Ms. Tang?
Yes, I'm just going to get the exact title of the document, which I don't believe is just limited to okay. So just I'll read it to you so I'm accurate. So it's a log of all communications between government employees and any member of the public, potential bidder, vendor, or manufacturer, which is in any way related to the procurement. So this is 5249 subsection B of 5GCA.
Okay, I'm totally at C now because we were referring to document number 31.
Right, I think Ms. Tang is going to statute right now, right?
Yeah.
So we're not talking
so
about the deficiency.
We're talking about
the
law.
We're talking about the law.
Yeah. Okay. And I just wanted to make sure I'm accurately representing what the log is, referencing the statute. Mm-hmm. So the log of communications, one was not maintained, I think that's what your certification said, right?
Sure. Yes.
Yes, right. And
so I'm sorry, you mean in Exhibit 31, or do you mean in another exhibit?
I moved on from
okay.
Exhibit 31. Exhibit 31 referred to the negotiation memorandum.
Okay.
And I finished that line, so I went to the next issue of the log. And I just wanted to be accurate in what I called it. Mm-hmm. That's why I referred to the statute. So you didn't maintain the log, and that's what you certified. Has GVB to your knowledge ever maintained a log of communications?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. And the communications that a GVB employees would have with the proposer would not just be limited to emails, would it not? You would have communications by phone too, correct?
Not necessarily really maybe business through email.
Or you meet. I mean, it's just not, I mean, meetings and communications can occur in numerous ways.
You could, but, you know, the people are in Korea or so forth.
But if you don't have a log, you just don't know what happened. Is that correct?
Sure.
All right. Now, we have the statute, subsection C of 5249, requires sound recordings of all pre-bid conferences, negotiations arising from requests for proposals, and discussions with vendors concerning small purchase procurement. Let's break this down. Did you maintain sound recordings all pre-bid conferences?
There was no pre-bid conference.
Okay. You are correct. I think you're right.
So Ms. Tang, it would just be helpful. I guess the premise is that Mr. DeKnight, he submitted a certification regarding the procurement record, correct?
Right.
So just for purposes of clarification, is there an exhibit that you're referring to, or is it just based upon his filing?
Just based on his certifications or lack of certification. I mean, because it's
lack
of record.
You want to make it an exhibit if you're going to make
it. Oh, the section of the the procurement code?
No, his actual certification document.
Sure,
because you're,
I can do
because
that.
You're using
I thought
that.
It's in a record because it's not, I mean, it's from them. So, okay, I'm happy to do that. I don't have copies of it. Can we do it maybe during break or even after the hearing because it's not disputed? And Mr. Fisher
filing of July 5th, 2016.
Okay, so we'll just base it upon the filing.
Why don't we just stipulate to making that an exhibit?
Are you okay with that, Mr.
I'm
Fisher?
I'm okay with that.
Just
so we're make sure we're talking about the same thing, this was the submission from yesterday, correct?
The GVB submission regarding certifications. I don't know the exact title.
It's just called certification.
Right. Okay, that's correct.
Two-page document.
Okay. again, focusing on G5GPH 5249 subsection C, refers to sound recordings for negotiations arising from requests for proposals. Were any of the negotiations recorded?
There were no verbal negotiations, to my knowledge, and therefore no recording of it.
Okay.
Objection, are you referring to section C?
Yes.
My objection is to the form of the question. This was not a small purchase procurement. And there were no pre-bid conferences. It's misleading to suggest there should have been a recording of negotiations in a situation where it is not a small purchase procurement. And again, I'm referring, I think this is Exhibit 32.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think there's a dispute. Just to clarify, I think we all agree there was no pre-bid conferences, so there are no sound recordings.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to the second part of that subsection, it refers to negotiations arising from a request for proposals and discussions with vendors. Now, you have negotiations and you have discussions with small vendors. I didn't ask about vendors.
It says concerning small purchase procurement.
Right.
That's the law, 4250.
But negotiations arriving from requests for proposals is one type of communication. I just confirmed that there was no recording, and he said there was no discussion, and that resolved it.
But, okay, but, and this is really going to be a question for them to this, for the hearing officer to decide, but we have a difference in the reading of 5249C.
Right. So his testimony is did you respond? Did you ask him whether that existed?
Which one?
The materials in section C. Sound
I asked him
well.
Whether we confirmed that pre-bid conferences there were none, so
okay.
That's irrelevant. With respect to negotiations, he says, and I recognize that there's an objection.
Right.
I said negotiations arising from requests for proposals. He says there were no negotiations, verbal negotiations, therefore there were no recordings. But then I didn't ask him about discussions with vendors concerning small purchase or procurement, because I read that as a third
right.
choice.
Right, so I understand the argument.
There's no comment.
The objection.
Yeah, there's no
right.
comment.
That's fine, okay. So do you agree with me, Mr. Denai, that unless there is a complete record, procurement record, that you, as a chief procurement officer, as a procurement officer under 5GCA 5250, you cannot make a procurement award. Are you aware of that?
So you can't ask him legally, but as your
no.
understanding as chief procurement officer, do you have an understanding about whether or not you can make an award if it is in fact true that there was
no.
not a complete procurement record?
Yeah, but I certified that it was complete.
Is that your testimony?
You have to say yes or no.
Oh, what was the question?
Is your testimony
that your testimony that you certified it was complete?
Well, I certified the record.
Okay.
But your question was, can I award without it being complete?
Yes.
Yeah, we try to keep the record and just, you know, do the best and make it complete.
Okay. Do you know whether you're prohibited from making an award if it's not a complete procurement award?
I would check the statute or the procurement.
And you would abide by whatever it is.
Yeah.
But sitting here today, do you know?
Well, what is the specific situation?
Just if you don't have a complete procurement record, you can't award. You can't make a procurement award. Are you sitting here today? Are you aware of that?
I'm sorry, that's a misstatement of the law.
That's actually an issue that's being addressed by the courts right now. But anyway, you can ask the question, and if you know, you can answer. If you don't know, you can
I would talk to legal counsel and yeah.
So you don't know without talking to legal counsel? That's okay. I just want to let you know. I'm not asking for legal opinion. Does anyone need a 5-minute break? Or I'm happy to go 4. You know, just a 5-minute break in case someone needs to use the restroom, and then maybe we can make a decision about Mr. Baldwin.
Sure.
Just
5 minutes.
Yes, thank you.
We're off the record at 3:04 p.m.